You're listening to South Florida's Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
All things are possible, this is His word. Receive it, it is written for you. Believe in His promises, God can.
Welcome to Living the Abundant Life program. This is your host, Rachel McLean. Please join us at 201 Southwest Flagler Avenue, Stuart at 9:30 a.m. each Sunday morning. Call 772-220-0602 for more information about men's prayer, ladies' prayer, and midweek Bible studies. Watch our live stream at AbundantLifeStuart.com on Sunday mornings at 9:30 a.m. Our mailing address is Abundant Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1349, Stuart, Florida 34995. Join us as we go to a pre-recorded service with Pastor Jonathan McLean.
Well, it is good to be back. And I want to thank all of you who have prayed. I'm going to ask that my wife come and join me. We're going to talk a little bit about our journey, and then we're going to jump into the Word of God, and we're going to look in the Word of God and see that our circumstances must never dictate our faith level. If we look at the way we feel and what's going on in our life and what other people are telling us, we're going to get into big trouble. We must have our eyes on the Lord. Must have our eyes on the Lord. I'm going to call him the good godly doctor this morning on the way in, and I said, I want to be like the leper that came back. Amen. And I want to thank you for doing your part, and I want to, first of all, thank God. God is our healer, and I want to give praise to Him, and I want to thank God for my wife, who is the most awesome wife and nurse. I'm not sure I was the best patient. Come on over here, hon. But I thank God for my wife who was there with me. And of course, many of you called. We had many calls.
Text
and so many words of encouragement, prayer, scripture, so many things were shared. And I did not answer my phone most of the time because I simply did not have the strength to do it. And did not have the strength to talk. And some of you have been there, and you know what it's like to just not have the strength to do it. I want to start by just saying the grace of God carries us when we're not able to walk. I want to start by addressing just this aspect of what my friend Paul Smith used to call the Superman mentality. Where so many times, you know, we get all dressed up in our Jesus suit, and we come in and people go, "How you doing?" We go, "Oh, great, great, hallelujah, everything's fantastic." Patrick was in the hospital. Patrick, awesome to have you out. And it's great to have David. I saw David earlier here. And Cynthia is doing so well. Praise God. That's a hallelujah. And, you know, so many praise reports. But someone that I was talking with said, "Jonathan, I'm sure that God's been talking to you and that you're going to have an awesome word that you've received." You know, and so I immediately responded by saying, this has not been a mountaintop experience with God. I did not feel godly bumps while I was going through the last several weeks. I was conscious of the presence of God. I had the peace of God. Did not have any fear, but I did not have any great revelations during that time. In fact, I told my wife, I don't feel spiritual at all. I just kind of felt numb. That was about the only way I could describe it.
And I said, "That's okay, you don't need to."
That's what she said. That's okay, you don't really need to
feel
that
spiritual.
Way. A couple weeks prior to leaving on the 10th of May to go on vacation, I was beginning to feel a little puny, just a little weak, like my immune system was under attack. And then we flew to the state where we went, and I'm not going to try not to mention the state because we're going to talk about some things maybe in specific, and I don't want to throw rocks at people today, but flew there simply because flights were so cheap.
I have to put my rocks away? Oh.
Yeah, you got to put your rocks away, honey. She's had some moments. Maybe she'll tell you about those moments. But upon arriving within, I would say, a day or so, I could tell that I was very quickly losing strength, and it was coming on very fast. Honey, what did you see?
Well, every day, well, the first 2 days was rain. One day it was nice. That day was very nice. After that, it was downhill, literally, downhill from there. Every day, watching him get weaker, watching him not be able to talk, he was like this. I'm like, if I wasn't there, I couldn't hear what he said. And I would hear a noise. I'm like, did you say something? I'm like, you know, I think we should go down to emergency. No, I'm going to wait till I get home. I'm like, okay.
That's that guy thing, you know, that's
yeah.
Like, you know, plus I would turn 65 and have insurance.
By June 1st, so he's whispering he's going to wait till June 1st. I'm going to wait. I'm like, okay. So every day was the same routine. So after 5 days of maybe he took 10 bites of food, maybe not even 10 bites of food after 5 days, I said, you know, and my brother now, my brother's calling. My sister never called, but she texted. I won't go into that. My brother says, okay, what's going on? Well, maybe you should go. Eric and Lori called. They had their daughter Jamie on the phone, our godchild. She goes, it might be meningitis. It might be this, it might be that. Because he had horrible pain in the neck. Horrible pain in the neck. That's what he was, a pain in the neck. No. That's good. No, he had a horrible pain. He had a horrible pain in his neck.
I did.
He had issues with his stomach. He couldn't eat. So I'm telling my brother this. Well, I didn't know, but my brother was packing. He was coming to the mountain. I don't know what he was going to do, but he was coming. Eric and Lori called the night before. Finally, God gave him a breakthrough. I love him dearly, and I respect him as the pastor, but I'll tell you what I called him. You want to hear it?
Yes.
You're a stubborn old coot.
What she said.
And so, said. But you know what? God kept me so calm. He did. And I'm like, usually I'm like, okay, you got to do something. We can't keep... Oh, yes, he did. He had a very high fever. He had chills. We came home, and he was like this. I want a drink. Whoops. He goes, I want a drink. He couldn't hold the cup. That's what was happening. So I took the cup from him, and I was trying to give him aspirin. He shook so hard. And then he would be fine for a little while, and then he would start shaking again. So it was a craziness. It was just craziness. So to kind of fast forward.
Days and days and days.
Days, yeah, this is days and days. Now, this is not just like, this is like, we went through Sunday, the first Sunday, we watched the live stream. So now we're on Monday, Tuesday, we're Wednesday, and I'm like, Lord help me, Jesus. My sarcasm almost kicked in once, but God really helped me, I'm telling you. God really helped me because I can just say some really sarcastic things. And
Amen.
It's just, yeah.
We are allowed to say amen in here, right?
Yeah, right. So, I mean, after days of hearing, I'm going to wait till I get home, I'm like, I'll tell you what I almost said. It was on the tip of my tongue. Well, which home are you going to? You know? I wanted to ask him, you know, what home are you headed to? Because you're not going to be here. You're not going to be here. You're not going to be in Florida. You know, so anyway... Eric and Lori's Jamie says, well, I think you just need to go to the hospital and get checked out. Not one time did I suspect COVID. Not one time.
Because I had my smell and my taste.
His smell was intensified.
Yeah.
He smelled everything.
Good.
Everything. I mean, I think he could smell the birds. He could smell the outdoors. The windows were open, right? And it was magnified, totally magnified. So the next morning, we got Andrew down, and this was another miracle too. There was so many miracles, I didn't even know if we could even remember them all. We have very steep stairs. At night, we prayed, Father God, in the name of Jesus, help us get Andrew up the steps to the bedroom. We prayed every morning, Lord, help us get him down the stairs. Every morning we were able to do that. Not one horrible thing happened. Not one horrible thing. I mean, thank God. I mean, God was carrying us, you know? So the next morning after speaking with Eric and Lori and Jamie I thought, I'm going to ask one more time, you know, just one more time. Do you want me to take you down to ER? Now we're on the mountain, okay? We're up high on the mountain, and it takes 30, 40 minutes to get to where you got to go to the hospital. So I'm thinking, you know, even if we started now, we're going to be there. It's like an hour or so. But anyway, no, I'm going to wait. I was so tired of hearing that. I was so tired of hearing, no, he's going to wait till he gets home. So anyway, so I came back in the room to do something with Andrew, and I heard him go, okay. I went, did you say something? It's like, what? What did you say? He goes, okay. I said, okay, what? I'm like waiting, you know? Now I'm like ready to spring into action. Thank the Lord. Thank God. So he was ready to go to ER. I'm like, okay.
Let me explain what happened. From the top of the stairs, I could walk about 6 to 8 feet without feeling like I was going to collapse. That would be not as far as from here to that chair. And I could breathe in little gulps. Just, I've been with a lot of people in their last hours of life. And I had that or less breath left. Mm-hmm. By the time I got to the bottom of the stairs, I realized that I wouldn't make it through the day.
Yes. In the whole meantime, too, something was attacking Andrew. He was very, very happy while we were gone. He was just very pleasant, very just nice, just everything's coming up roses, laughing. You know how he's just his jovial little self. So one night, all night. Next night he slept. The next night, he laughed all night. I'm like, okay.
So there wasn't a lot of rest going on.
No, I'm like, okay, I had enough of this. This is enough, this is too much stress. I said to him, oh no, I'm not doing this again. Oh no, 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 I am not doing this again. I grabbed my oil, I went in, and I anointed the bed, I anointed Andrew. I said, whatever's here's gotta go in the name of Jesus. I can't do this. Well, every night, I thought, just in case they didn't hear, I'm gonna speak it again. Every night we prayed over him. He slept. All the rest of the time, he slept. And I took my phone. First, I was playing music. And then I thought, wait a minute. He likes music, right? He gets going with music. So I put the scripture on, put my phone out in the hallway by his door, and played the scriptures. One night I woke up and it was still going. I forget what book we were in. And it just kept going, you know, it just kept going. So praise God. That was an answer to prayer. Thank God for that.
To get me to the hospital.
I'm trying to get him to the hospital. So down the mountain we go. Thank you, Jesus. Ooh, you know, it's very curvy, very, you know. So we're going down the mountain. We get there. I drop him off because I have Andrew. I don't think they'll let you go in. I don't know for sure what they're doing there. So he's got it from there. They did.
All right. So when I checked in, they asked me what was going on. And, of course, they asked a basic question. So I can still smell. I can still taste. But I have a fever. So at this point, I told them that I couldn't breathe. I was losing the ability to breathe. And that the Tylenols were they were losing their ability to address the fever. I could take them and they would help a lot at first and then less and less and less. And so anyhow, brought me in and it was like, you know, a big deal. Doctor, all kinds of people, they're taking blood, they're doing this, that. And they did a chest x-ray, they did a neck scan, and they hooked up an IV, they hooked up, they said they were going to hook up an antibiotic. I'm not sure whether they did or they didn't. They never told me what happened with any of that. But once the results came back from the chest x-ray, the doctor came in and said, okay, we're not going to have your nose test for the coronavirus for a few days, two to three days. But the x-rays show that your lungs are full of COVID. And so you definitely have it. We know that from what we see in the x-rays. Of course, we have the report from that. So within just a short time after they got the results, they begin to disconnect everything. The doctor came in and said, there's nothing we can do for you. There's no treatment in the hospital that will help you. And your oxygen levels are too high for you to be put on a ventilator. And so if you get to where you can not breathe at all, you know where we are, and you can come back. Take Tylenol and ibuprofen, and see how, you know, that's all we can recommend. And so I was in the hospital, I believe, less than 3 hours.
Yeah.
They had me in, they diagnosed everything, said there's nothing we can do, and they said, go on home. So I called her, and I mean, by this, I'm so weak, I can barely whisper. And so told her what was said, and from there we went
back to the mountain.
Back to the mountain. And of course, she's
praying. Up the mountain
you
go, and now I'm mad.
Yeah.
Now
she's
I'm
mad.
Angry. Now I'm mad. I can't believe it. I can't believe they're so stupid. How could somebody think that? We don't want a ventilator. So all the way up the mountain now. Poor Jonathan. He goes, he's sitting there like this. I feel like I'm on a roller coaster.
but when you're told there's nothing we can do for you here.
Oh, it made me mad.
And the only option was if I wasn't able to breathe, they'd put me on a ventilator. But then we got to the house, and of course, she's crying out, she's praying.
Oh,
and
I'm praying. I'm coming against the enemy in the
praying.
Name of Jesus, against the darkness, against the death. I'm coming against death, because now I'm like, okay, we've just been given a death sentence. That's what we were given. I mean, I was just mad. I was just angry.
So I hadn't heard until I guess maybe the last couple of days you mentioned that you could smell death.
Oh, so I'm sitting on the couch. So we have one couch here in front of the fireplace, and we have a smaller couch there. So I'm there, he's laying here, and horrible smell. And I went,
yeah.
And I'm looking around, and I'm thinking, what in the world is that? So then I sit up, and I'm like, and it like intensified. And I'm like, oh, no. I was like, what is going on? I'm saying this, you know, to myself. I jumped up off the couch, and I said, in the name of Jesus, I speak life. I come against that in the name of Jesus. Oh, my goodness. That was the most horrible smell. Let me tell you, I cannot tell you how horrible that was. And it left. It left. I mean, it was like death was on our doorstep. It was in our house, you know? And it was like, I was like, whoa, no way.
And she dealt with this with her mom and dad in our house, so she knows the smell of that spirit, and it's foul. It's
yeah.
Foul.
That was horrible.
And then...
He had the strength to get out of the car, make it onto the porch, and sit in the rocker.
Yeah.
And he was out of breath. Now, he had gotten worse from there to back to
the
house.
Yeah.
He whispered that he was going to call a doctor. We said, okay.
So, this is our friend we've known for
we got the phone,
40 years.
Got him on the
years.
Phone. Now he's whispering into the phone, trying to tell him he wants to talk to him.
So I told the doctor, whispered to the doctor. You know, he's saying to me, what's going on? What's going on?
What's the matter with
and
you?
I'm trying to tell him. And I told him what happened in the hospital, the emergency room. And I said, is there anything that can be done? And he spoke up so loud.
Absolutely. I could hear him. I'm standing outside on the porch, and I could hear him from where I'm standing. And I went, inside of me, my spirit leaped. I was like, whew. And oh, thank you, Jesus. What, within an hour? Well, back down the mountain we go.
But God had already connected you with some people that had worked with a pharmacy that would work with people. And so she had the name of the pharmacy, so we could give the name of the pharmacy to the doctor.
Yes, that's right. God worked all that out. So we gave the pharmacy the name, the phone number, and all that. And he called in the prescriptions. Back down the mountain we go within an hour. Was it an hour?
A couple hours
we had them.
Yep.
Within a couple of hours we had them.
And started taking the prescriptions. And the doctor said, within 12 hours...
you'll see a difference.
It's going to start changing. Your condition will start changing. And he said the one medication, I guess all the medications work better the earlier you catch this thing. But he said the one medication has like a 94% rate of success. He said the other medication has a 100% rate of success if it's caught early, 100%. And even with people on a ventilator, many have been restored to life. And so we got the prescription, started taking the prescription.
Yeah, we called him back because I didn't realize he had so much going on. That he said, take both, and he's saying, yes, he said, take both, yes, he said. I'm like, okay, I'm calling him. So we called him. And
plus there were vitamins.
Yeah,
you know, the vitamins that you all know about, the D's.
C, D, and zinc.
Yeah.
Very important. Very important. C, D, and zinc.
So those, of course, he gave, told us what kind of intensity or strength we were to take as well. And so by the next morning... I realized I could breathe a little deeper. Just from that afternoon to the next morning. And from there, I've continued to get better.
Yes.
And so...
still has a lot of fatigue. A lot of fatigue.
But yeah. By lunchtime and thereafter, it starts wearing on my voice. And I begin to kind of wear down a little bit in the afternoons.
But he started wanting to come back to Florida. So we're leaving on Monday, he's going. Yeah. I'm like, okay. So then he had a horrible cough. So then we had to go back down the mountain to get a prescription for that.
An antibiotic.
So we got the antibiotic. And praise God, by the next day, he said, my chest quit hurting. His chest was hurting him so bad. He had so much pressure.
Let me tell you, it felt like concrete. There was no capacity to take in air. I mean, I could not breathe. It literally was like being choked to death and drowning at the same time. There just was no capacity to breathe. And my lungs felt like they'd become filled with concrete and no air could get into them. And then these coughing spells, then the little gasp of air that I could get, I couldn't breathe because the coughing wouldn't stop.
Well, he couldn't take a deep breath at all.
Yeah, could not.
He could not take a deep breath. And someone told us that on the x-ray, it literally looks like glass in your lungs.
Yeah.
So whatever the hard stuff is, it's like it just keeps hardening and hardening until you can't get air. You can't take a deep breath. And so that was scary. So then he said he wanted to leave Monday. And I said, oh, I don't think we're going to be ready for Monday. So we said, well, Tuesday, he wants to leave Tuesday. So I'm cleaning because I clean before I leave. And so I'm cleaning. And, you know, it was so peaceful. I can't even tell you. We got in the car to come home. And I felt this many times. You ever felt like you're in a bubble? We were in a bubble. I can't even tell you.
God just covered
it. It was like a bubble. And we left the mountain, and of course I was being silly. Oh, goodbye, mountain. I won't see you for a little while, you know. Goodbye, you know, and I'm trying to be funny. And so anyway, it's like we floated. It's like all of a sudden we were down. We were going. We're getting on the highway. And it was like that all the way to Florida. It literally, totally engulfed like in a bubble. And we were just like floating along and just so peaceful. And God was like really with us.
Thank you. This is part of a message that there are solutions. And the difficult side of this is the question, why do we not have the solutions being given to our people? It's not a secret that we are living, I mean, the end times, this is where we are. It's not coming, that's where we are. And so a part of that is there is an increase of the activity of what the Word of God says Satan came to do. Satan came to kill, steal, and destroy. So we understand this. It's spiritual. It's not just natural. And so you can't just point fingers at a person, a party, or a system. You have to understand it is a global spiritual condition that is going on all over the world. We're living in a different day now than we were 2 years ago. Things are changing. We're seeing them change. There is an agenda to do that. And so the important thing is for you, for your relatives, for people you meet, there are solutions. There are means, both nutritionally and also medically, that are available. And of course, again, I went online, I checked, and of course, the things I took are, they're basically looked upon as contraband. I mean, President Trump took one of the medications I took. And that medication is considered to not be acceptable, you know, to our medical society. However, we need to have wisdom. I don't normally take a Sunday morning to talk about, you know, health issues and things of this nature. But I believe that this is serious. And family members that have been in the hospital, that have been in critical condition, and many of them have died. I mean, thousands, hundreds of thousands of people have literally died when there has been a solution. All right. Well, Father, once again, we ask you to guide us as we look into the Word this morning. It is a message on healing, and it's a message on deliverance, and it's a message to the church that we are not bound by the limitations of the conditions of this world as your children. So I ask this morning that you would meet with us, you would guide our thoughts in Jesus' name. I want to thank our elders who did an awesome job in my absence. I want to thank the praise team.